Hello everyone, welcome to Panning the Stream. I am your host, Dan Reichert, and across the table from me is my wife, Bianca Reichert. Bianca, how are you doing?
What's happening, Dan?
Not a whole lot. You know what? We recorded a few of these in advance because I had to go out to Los Angeles for about a week.
So I missed you.
I missed you.
You did great work out there, though.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of talking in a microphone, so it's really nice to come back here and relax and sit in front of a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it feels like we haven't done this in a while, but for you listeners at home, hopefully you've been able to keep up on the stuff that we have been putting out. And we've got another one for you here. We watch Caesar 911 here. That is on Netflix. We watched the first two episodes. Just finished up.
I really enjoyed it.
This seemed like a very bonk show for sure.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for these, like, before and after pet shows, like My Cat from Hell. And I'm not even a cat person, but Jackson Galaxy's just got away with those little felines. And Caesar Milan, I mean, he's a master at what he does.
Jackson Galaxy, I feel like we must have talked about this off air at some point, but, like, that's not actually somebody's name, right?
As far as I know, it's his given name, but okay. I've never done any research into it.
It's a tremendous name. And so does Jackson do
basically... And he looks exactly what you think someone named Jackson Galaxy would look like.
Is it just like a suit with a bunch of stars on it? And,
it might as well be.
And a tie that glows with some kind of like otherworldly...
Might as well be. He carries his cat toys in a guitar case.
Oh.
Yeah.
This guy's got a thing going
on.
So
as soon as you call for Jackson Galaxy and he approaches your house with a guitar case, you know what you're in for.
Goodness,
and usually
okay.
It's, you need a cat tree, because your cat doesn't like being on the floor, and he wants to climb up high.
This sounds amazing, and I hope we didn't disappoint people by making them watch Caesar Milan, because he's just a confident, talented dude.
Oh, no, I like this better than My Cat from Hell, because
okay.
I can relate, you know, as a dog, as a lifelong dog owner.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I have always had dogs, too, but we never really had any idea how to, like... I don't know. I was never the one in charge of, like, walking it or having to discipline it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we had dogs, but they just kind of just sat around and ate stuff.
Yeah. Growing up, I've had many, many dogs, and we never formally trained them, but they always just ended up being good boys and girls.
Yeah, I've met numerous dogs that have been raised by you and your family, and that's why I had a lot of faith in you when we got our dog Razor, who's currently milling about the floor here. I knew that your family's dogs have always been very well behaved,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, Razor is a great little dude, very well behaved. In fact, as we were watching these two episodes, Razor was cuddled up right next to us on the couch and being just extremely well behaved. And
it's
like,
such a sweetheart.
You know, he can be kind of a rascal sometimes, mm-hmm. he can kind of woof at stuff, but overall, like, he's a really great little dude.
Yeah, but you really took the lead with training him. I mean, as far as walking him and the tricks and stuff. I mean, he's a sweet boy through and through. I don't think we taught that. I think he just naturally has a good heart. But you definitely taught him a lot. You're a good dog trainer.
Well, thank you, but I can't take the credit there. He is a smart little guy, and he took to stuff. Like, he loves food quite a bit,
mm-hmm.
so as soon as I introduced that to the equation, as soon as he figured out what he had to do to get the food,
mm-hmm.
he was willing to learn pretty much whatever it took.
Mm, yeah.
Still has some confusion between sit and lay, but other than that...
Razor's biggest problem, and I think you would agree with me, is he's incredibly sweet, and he's so cute that when we walk him around the city, people always want to stop and pet him.
Yes.
But whenever someone goes to pet him, he jumps out of the way. He's very timid.
He's extremely squirrely, and I think a lot of that is I play with him a lot,
mm-hmm.
and I did from a very young age, and I think he associated, like, hands coming at him with, like, oh, it's playtime, we're going to get wily.
I mean, as far as you're concerned, yes, but, like, for other people, he doesn't react in, like, a playful way. He reacts like he's kind of a little scared.
It is a little, like, confusion of, like, oh, who is this person?
Right.
Do they mean me harm? So.
Right, yeah, but if someone approaches him, I know, if someone approaches him with, like, their hand upside down, like, some people go with their hand, like, going to pet him on the head right away, but if they approach him with their hand upside down, he tends to respond a lot better to it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's just a lot of times it's people too not knowing how to approach dogs,
right?
Or
having, like, weird energy about him.
Yeah, but at least with Razor, I mean, I never and I'm sure you would say the same thing, never have to worry about him hurting anyone or anything like that.
If he wanted to, there's no way he could.
Yeah, he just doesn't have an aggressive bone in his body.
No,
total mush.
So now that we've that's our our amazing dog. Now let's talk about these dogs that have many more issues than Razor does.
We've got some issues.
So episode one here, I've already got a good idea about the show, or a good feeling about the show, because in the montage at the beginning, we see a dog trying to eat an entire pizza off of a table that people are eating.
And succeeding.
Yeah, like he's pulling this giant full pie of pizza off the table, which I found very funny. And I was like, oh, hope we meet that dog. And sure enough, we'll get to that dog. Also, right at the beginning, we see Cesar Millan pulling up in his SUV with his vanity plate with his entire name on it, which...
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It says Cesar Space Millan, which is numerous characters than a vanity plate will allow you, even in the state of California, where it seems like this whole show is set.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he pulls up, and it seems like... Okay, so we meet like four sets of dogs in these two episodes. And each episode kind of follows the same format. Like, meet the first dog, meet the second dog, come back at the
follow
end.
Up.
Yeah, we're going to set up cameras in the first dog's house and see how the family handles things without Cesar. And it starts with whistleblowers. Basically, like, some sort of friend or family member that has to interact with this dog. And usually this dog is putting some strain on the friendship or the family or something. And so the first one, we meet Debbie, who is the whistleblower for Alyssa.
Yeah, Debbie called 911 and asked for Cesar.
I don't know if it's... If you have a problem with a dog at home, I don't think you should call actual 911. I think Cesar 911 probably goes through a website or something. 911 is for something else on the phone, so be careful about that.
Not to bring it back to cats, but did you hear, I think it was like a year ago or 2 years ago, this family, or this mother, I think, called 911 just terrified because... The family's massive cat was terrorizing their family, and they had to, like, lock themselves in a closet because the cat was, like, attacking them.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like the Shining is, like, swinging an axe around.
Yeah. I actually think Jackson Galaxy did an episode with that cat. Yeah. Jeez. I could be wrong there, but...
Well, this is just a dog, Misty, who is basically Misty. Just aggressive. It's just a little black dog that is really aggressive, barks all the time.
Bites.
Lots of biting. So even with the family. Mm-hmm. So the family is a couple, and they're two young kids. Actually, no, the boy was a little older. We don't see as much of him as the younger girl.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even remember a boy.
Yeah. So it's kind of the younger girl's dog, and she seems pretty distraught that she wanted this cute puppy, and she can't really pet it or love it because he's just constantly freaking out and baring his teeth and biting and everything. At one point, they say that they had to take the grandma to the hospital because she got bit. Which, big it's issues wild. Here started around 4 months old.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a dog that was this type of aggressive?
No, never. I never had a dog that bit us. And it sucks. I can relate to that girl in, you know, wanting a dog so bad when you're a little girl. I mean, when you're a tiny person, your dog can be your best friend. Like, when I was one is when we got our first dog, Sparky. So I pretty much grew up with him. And he was such a fucking good boy. He was this sweet. He could walk without a leash. He was this big black lab German Shepherd mix.
Is Sparky the one with a longer name?
Sparky, Glenn, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Inflanica, Justin, Glenn, Monda, yeah.
Yes, okay, right.
He was just a quality boy. And, you know, and we had Miles. Miles was a weirdo. Really just bizarre. I could talk about Miles forever. He was just a weird dog, but incredibly sweet. Stella, and then Lucian, obviously Razor, but never had any aggressive dogs. None of them were ever, even towards other dogs or anything. Stella would bark, but...
Yeah, Miles was weird. Stella would bark. It seems like Lucian was kind of a dream the whole time. And Razor, we've talked about him.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you've got a long track record of not...
Yeah, what about you? You've had small dogs growing up, right?
We had, my mom got this dog, Sweetie, that was a Maltese. We had Sweetie for a very, very
was
long
she sweet?
Time. She was pretty sweet, yeah. Then we had Ebony, which was my sister's little black dog that was, a snoodle, like half schnauzer, half poodle.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've had several, like since I moved out, they've had Daisy, this tiny little yippy dog.
Well, I mean, I've only met Daisy, and Daisy is such a good little girl. She's the size of a can of soda. But she is so smart, like as smart as a large dog. Like it's so crazy how really tiny dogs and really big dogs have the same amount of personality. Like that never ceases to amaze me. But she is such a good girl, and you know, just judging by her, I would imagine that your other dogs were really good dogs too.
Yeah, they were well behaved. I don't remember any not even like a lot of barking or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my mom took classes or where she learned this, if it was from growing up or whatever. But the difference between her and her mom, my short grandma, as I've always called her, she has this dog Max now, and my short grandma is the tiniest ball of Southern anxiety you've ever met. There's this little woman from Georgia that just everything is always out to get her. Everything is always super scary, and you got to keep an eye out. Like, when I was 14 and spent literally the entire year just watching wrestling, playing video games, and masturbating in my room, she was convinced that I must have been going to rave parties and taking ecstasy. That's me. She saw something on, like, 2020 about how the teenagers are into rave parties and talked to my mom. And that Danny's guy, he's going to these rave parties. You got to search his room for the ecstasy. And, like, whenever she was babysitting my sister, she'd always be peeking into my room, making sure I wasn't up to anything. And mm-hmm. It was pretty predictable what I was up to. But anyway, she has this dog, Max, and it is the most high-strung. Like, if anybody comes within, like, 30 feet of that house, mm-hmm. nonstop barking.
Yeah, I met him once. And we were there for probably, like, 20 minutes. And he was barking at us the whole time.
Yeah, it does not
stop. If he ever stopped and I happened to glance down at him, he would start again.
Yeah, if you look at him, if anyone tries to pet him, including my grandma, pretty much, like, he is, like, there's this crazy thing about, like, the energy of an owner mm-hmm. being reflected in the dog. Like, Razor is just obsessed with being comfortable, which mm-hmm. comes from you, and playing fetch and just being super playful and weird, you know, because I love playing with him.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Just, like, a micro version of that. I remember my friend Ariana had this dog, Tasha, who was very vicious. Like, she would show her bare teeth and all the, you know, growl all the time, all that stuff. And whenever I would go to pet her, you know, she would snarl at me. So I started to make a concerted effort, and I was, like, very young at the time. I was probably in fourth grade. I started to make a concerted effort to, like, not be nervous around her, and she would just stop growling at me. They really do respond to your energy and stuff. I mean, I wouldn't try that if it was, like, a super vicious dog. You wouldn't want to chance that. But,
right.
It's really interesting how dogs can just pick up on that stuff.
Yeah, and I almost hate to use the term, like, you hear a lot of using the phrase energy with Cesar Millan, and when people talk about dogs in general, like, oh, the energy that you have is reflected, like, it sounds like some, like...
Sounds hokey.
Some, you know, like, a new agey, right. You know, holistic thing, but I'm trying to think of a better way to describe
energy is
that.
Less, I mean, it's more just what you're exuding. If you're fearful, your dog is going to reflect that. If you're nervous, your dog will pick up on that. If you're relaxed, your dog will respond to that. It's just whatever your mood is. Not energy in the sense of, like, you know, Reiki energy,
like,
but...
Or, like, crystals and healing. Yeah,
energy like just in the sense of, like, what kind of thing you're exuding.
Yeah, whether you're confident. Like, just your attitude, basically.
Yeah, your attitude.
And that is such a common thing with all these dogs in this show, is Caesar just being like, no, just be confident. Like, pick up his paws. Like, normally it would freak out if you grab his paws, but that's because you're nervous when you grab his paws. Mm-hmm. Or if you take him to the dog park and the entire time you're super nervous about, you know, mm-hmm. him interacting, like, that's going to be reflected in your dog.
Right.
So that's just kind of a common thing here. So take it back to Misty real quick. He brings Junior, his own dog.
Who just seems like the best.
Yeah.
Real sweetheart.
Super well trained, because he wants to see, like, okay, is Misty just a naturally aggressive dog, mm-hmm. or is there something else going on?
Is she insecure?
Yeah. And sure enough, Junior approaches and Misty kind of really gets shy and walks away mm-hmm, and
but
stuff.
But never, like, suggests that she would bite him or anything like that. So I guess to Caesar, that demonstrates that she's not aggressive, but just kind of insecure and timid.
Right. And we see an instant change, which, again, this is a reality show, so we don't know how many minutes elapsed between the dog.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed the show, but I'm aware that it was probably heavily edited and stuff. Right. So,
but yeah, we do see, you know, Caesar start walking Misty, you know, with his confidence, holding the leash by the side and everything. And it's an instant turnaround, at least in the show's perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm not doubting his ability at all as someone who trains dogs, mm-hmm. but obviously that might have taken a bit longer mm-hmm. in real life. He takes it to he has a dog psychology center out in California where he basically has Misty work with all these other dogs for a while.
It's just he keeps his giant pack of dogs there and it just seems like paradise.
Yeah, as soon as
like
I saw that.
Like all these really well-behaved pooches just frolicking around having the grandest old time and, you know, they bring in these wayward pups to get rehabilitated. It's really cute.
Yeah, and he brings the family in to, like, test out, like, mm-hmm. oh, hold his paws and everything. And then there's kind of this cut here where he's like, okay, well, I'm going to put in cameras in your house. We're going to check in with you after you spend a week, you know, with these new tactics or whatever. And that's when we meet Augie, who is the second dog we've seen here. This is Nicole's dog. And the whistleblowers here were Jamie and...
Brad.
Jamie and Brad, right, because Brad's sister is the one with the dog. Mm-hmm. But Brad also has these two dogs, Chemo and Sophie, and whenever, like, they are in the same house or whatever as Augie, Augie freaks out. Some similar stuff. Lots of barking, lots of just, like, complete unruliness around other dogs specifically. Mm-hmm. They basically figure out that, like, Chemo, like, Brad was kind of at fault here. He was kind of the instigator, or he was the whistleblower, but Chemo, his dog, was kind of the instigator right. of some of these, like, little fights mm-hmm. and skirmishes. So he sets down this, like, this rope around them that says, like, okay, this is a personal space thing here. Make sure that Chemo does not enter this circle when you go up to pet Augie. And sure enough, you know, again, air quotes, instantly, it made a huge difference here. Because mm-hmm. it seems like the dogs were almost expecting to, like, get into a fight right. or something.
And with Augie, unlike Misty, Augie seems to be a nice, friendly dog who loves mm-hmm. his owners. But it's just when dogs pass by the house, he freaks out. When he's around other dogs, he gets nervous, especially this Chemo dog. He will attack or they'll have tiffs or whatever. So they bring him to the dog park. And Caesar eventually just pretty much pinpoints that Nicole is actually the problem.
Yeah.
Because she just gets so nervous whenever he's around other dogs. And that just transfers to him. And then that's how these tiffs end up happening. So he shows her that he's able to play with dogs and, like, have a great old time and enjoy himself like all the other dogs are doing.
Yeah, at one point he has Nicole, like, stand outside of the park.
Yeah, because, he quarantines like, her.
Yeah, because normally when she was in the park with Augie would be approaching a dog, and every single time Nicole would just be like, just, you know, ready to, like, be really nervous about this thing, and that transferred over. So, you know, he has her just kind of walk a lap around the park, you know, off leash, and he seems much more settled down once Nicole was able to settle down. And, then we get to the end of the first episode where they take both families and both dogs, and they all just kind of meet in one place, and he reviews the footage and everything. And, you know, with the implication being these dogs have, been helped out quite a bit. I always love with shows like this. Like, I used to watch a lot of Intervention. And okay. It's a weird it's line like to this. Draw. Yeah, but it's like at the end of Intervention, you know, like I'd say a good 80% of the episodes, it ends with them being like, yeah, things are good. You know, it's been a month. You know, they always look so much better and everything. You know, the drug addicts or the alcoholics. But I always want to see the returns. Like, I want to see the episode that
took place. Year after.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, did this hold true? Did this, you know, or did they relapse? And sometimes you get that slide at the end that says, like, oh, they live under a bridge now.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. But the only show I feel like a reality-type, intervention-type show that did that, which, you know, what you're talking about when they revisit, like, a significant amount of time later, was Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They would, like, actually go back, they would have these specials where they would go back, like, a year or more later. So, and that's actually reflective of, you know, how the training, whether or not yeah. it was actually helpful.
Especially with the notorious ones, like the Amy's Baking Company one. Like, they did, yeah. like, they made a big deal about the return
right,
of that.
Right. Didn't it shut down, Amy's Baking Company?
I'm not sure if it shut down. Like, she definitely tried to, like, coast on the
milk that for all its worth.
She tried. Oh, boy. Yeah. If we could do a whole episode about that one
episode.
They just
seemed like a really, really terrible people.
It was a tough episode for sure. But moving on to episode 2 of this one, we meet
the Moose.
This is probably my favorite of the four like dogs situations that I've seen. So Patty and Lori Jo are the whistleblowers that work at this restaurant that is owned by Takis and Joanne. And they own this diner, and it's really annoying because whenever Takis shows up, he's got these three little Bichons, which they call the Moos. Mm-hmm. And if they stay in the truck, which is this giant Frisco's truck, it's the name of the diner,
yeah.
they will sometimes just honk the horn.
Yeah, like purposefully honk the horn forever. Like they yes. hold their little paws on it, so it just keeps honking.
Like two of them will just be barking like crazy, and one will just be like holding its paws on the horn. These are tiny little dogs, and there's yeah. plenty of footage of them honking the horn. Yeah. It's very funny.
It's really cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, this place is, like, definitely one of those, like, kind of 50s style diners where the girls are skating around on roller skates and feeding you food and stuff. And there's a big outdoor patio, and, like, he brings them up there all the time.
Yeah, it's dog-friendly or whatever, so.
Yeah, yeah, which sounds nice, but, like, he shows up with the Moos, and they just, like, you know,
they're yipping and
yeah, pulling on the leash and everything, just being a huge pain in the ass to the point where, like, customers were complaining. Mm-hmm. One of the things I really liked about this first dog is Takis obviously really, really loves these dogs, and he gives it a Greek Orthodox baptism. So he has this baptized dog, and he only has that one for a year, and then he gets the dog a wife, like
right.
which that is how he puts it. He's like, I want to get a wife for my dog after the first year. So they, they should have had like this Greek Orthodox wedding.
That would have been amazing. I get it though. You know, you want to give your dog another dog to hang out with.
Oh yeah, we talk about that with Razor all the time, like wanting to get another one. And then on their 1 year anniversary, again, his words, they get a third dog. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's implied that this is their baby or what the deal is.
No, they said they adopted a third one.
Well, right. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know, like the second one was the wife. I don't know if the third one is supposed to be like the baby.
It's
of
just the third
married...
wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got these three. They all look to be about the same age.
And Bijan Frieze's, if you don't know what they look like and you haven't watched the show, they're just these tiny white puffballs.
Yeah, it almost reminded me of Sweetie the Maltese that we had.
Oh, really? That's what you look like?
I mean, tiny and white. Mm-hmm. Not quite as puffy as
yeah,
these dogs
here.
Yeah,
they have this like really cotton ball-esque kind of coat to them. Yeah. I think they're really cute.
They're really adorable. A lot of like running around with their tongues out.
Yeah.
And just being really energetic. And Takis is such a kind of like loud personality.
Big personality.
Yeah, and he just seems like he spoils these dogs a lot. Lots of clips of like when they lay in bed. I thought it was really funny that the one dog just like puts like face to face with Takis and just puts its like ass right on the wife's head. And so she is understandably like, hey, this sucks. We need a better bed situation here.
Right.
At one point says, we're not going to have sex anymore unless we do something about these dogs. So there's this whole training thing where they set up these three tiny beds next to the bed. And it's like, okay, you guys got to sit here. Oh, and this is when Takis establishes his catchphrase, which is, he goes, you know what?
Yeah. And apparently that's something he's always said because the dogs like immediately respond to that.
Yeah.
So Caesar says like, oh, you've had this tool this whole time that you never want to use. But the dogs really do respond to that. I guess they know he means business when he says that.
Yeah. So that becomes his like, hey, I'm serious now phrase.
Right.
It's them to kind of stay
it's
there.
It's really funny how dogs know when you're being serious or when you're just kind of messing around. Like with Razor, you know, he knows to get into timeout when he's a bad boy. And we'll tell him timeout. We'll say, Tio, he's right here. So I don't want to say it. but like if I usually, you know, he'll go under there and then he'll walk right out. But if I'm actually mad at him, like if he did something bad, like got into the trash or something like that, and I say it, he stays there for a really long time. He won't leave until we tell him to.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
I think you came home one time and he'd like pooped or something because he was sick. And didn't he instantly go like without you saying anything? He was like, okay, I know. I'll go sit under here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's without even me telling. Like I'll look for him and he'll just be under the chair.
Yeah.
He knows.
He's a good boy.
He's a really good boy. He's got a good heart.
Yes. So we learn the bed thing. They set up the camera as we move on to the final dog situation here, which is it's kind of a unique thing. It's at this place called the Freedom Riders Foundation, where it looks like a house on the outside, right on the beach in California, but it's a bunch of offices inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this woman that they based a movie off of.
The movie was called Freedom Riders.
Right. And they had like Hilary Swank play her and everything. So this is at the headquarters of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman she's done great work with these students and everything and getting them to write about their experiences with like at-risk kids and everything. But she doesn't have much control at all over Bo, who is this 140-pound lab, this giant.
He's adorable.
He's, oh my
God. I love Bo.
Especially when they show the clips of like the weird auction in a wrestling ring or whatever it was where they bought him and he's like 8 weeks old.
Oh my God, unbelievably cute.
Yes.
Just what a mush. And you could already tell he was going to be a big dog. Because, you know, puppies, when they're going to be big, they have those big old paws. But he's so fucking cute.
Yeah.
I just want to hug him. There's nothing like hugging a really big dog.
Yeah. These are all really cute dogs in these two episodes, but Bo is definitely the
one. Oh, I love
Bo.
Like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of, as you put it, Glorp.
Yes, and he's got it in spades. Yeah, he's got all that extra skin hanging underneath his like neck jowl area.
Yeah,
you could just grab, if you know a dog who has substantial glorp, I recommend just grabbing onto that and just giving him a good squeeze. It feels really good, and it will improve your day.
Well, you see some good shots of the glorp when they're trying to get him into the back of her car, and it's like it usually takes like three people, and she's kind of like pulling on this leash.
Because he's so big, yeah, and he doesn't want to get in there.
Yeah, and all the glorp is like pushing up like against his face, and oh man.
Yeah, but when Caesar's there, just to jump forward a little bit, when Caesar's trying to get him into the car, and when he first tries, he tries to encourage him to get up, and he put Bo's feet up on the trunk, and then Bo just kind of melted backwards,
yes.
And Caesar's like, oh, he melt.
Yeah. Well, then he has to, like, make it, like, this whole, like, obstacle course thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to go in one side and out the other. And then, oh, isn't it fun if we do this? And, like, made the dog excited about the car.
Oh, my God. Dogs are so cute. You just need to make a game out of it.
Oh, they're great.
They really are.
And speaking of great dogs, this is when we see the clip of him trying to eat the entire pizza.
Oh, yeah.
and also, like, they will be having meetings, next to this big table in their meeting room. And he will just, like, show up with, like, a dead rat.
A giant dead rat.
Yeah, huge dead rat. Which at one point they show a clip of him, like, setting the rat down and like laying on it like a pillow, yeah. Which is confusing.
Dogs are weird.
There's a really good clip of one of the guys is just sitting there like holding some piece of food, mm-hmm. and just, Bo just walks up and just grabs it.
Yeah,
right
no hesitation
hand.
Whatsoever.
No, he's like, this is for me.
Yeah, you know, Miles. I got to say, Miles is a pretty big offender about that. So I remember one time with pizza, we were all around the dining room table and. Miles was there. Miles has since passed away, unfortunately. But Stacy was eating pizza, and Stacy's my brother's girlfriend, brother's wife. She had her pizza on the table, and Miles walked up slowly, stared her dead in the eye. They were looking at each other. And then he slowly just took the pizza out of the plate and walked away with it.
Not even trying to be sneaky or anything about
it? No, he was going slow, and they were like they were locked eyes. Oh, man. Let me just say one more little anecdote.
Please, yeah.
So Sparky, who, like I said, was one of the best boys, he was very food motivated. And my mother, as you know, is not a good cook, just a horrible cook. But one time...
She's going to hear this.
Yeah, well, she knows.
Does she know that?
Oh, she knows. Okay. She knows. One time she made, by the grace of God, she made this immaculate apple pie that just looked pristine. It looked like Martha Stewart made it. It was perfect. And I think she put it in the oven to cool, and we went to my grandma's house up the street for some, you know, family thing. My mom went back to the house to get the apple pie, and there was just a huge dog head-shaped hole in the middle of the apple pie because Glenn had gotten to it.
Oh.
Yeah. It's dogs, man. They're so funny.
I really did appreciate how well-behaved Razor was after these.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Which, yeah, like, Bo is definitely, like, it seems like his issues were maybe the least severe of a lot of them.
Like, I think Bo just kind of felt like he had the run of the place. No one was really exerting any dominance over him, and that's all he really needed.
Yeah, they showed some stuff, like, keeping him outside the meeting room and, like, just kind of, you know, making that little Caesar Milan mm-hmm. sound to mm-hmm. keep him out. And, like, he got to the point where, like, he could put, like, a whole pizza or something right on the other side and he wouldn't come after it. So like it definitely seemed like the least severe swing for
he
dogs.
Seemed like a really sweet dog that had some kind of control issues. But the most the most kind of peculiar part was when they were walking Bo and there was that really aggressive pit bull.
Yeah.
And that's always so disappointing to see because pit bulls have that reputation of being like really mean and aggressive. So, you know, when you see, even me and I, you know, my family, we've had two pit bulls. I mean, Stella, who's passed away, but she was a sweetheart. Now my brother has Max, who, as you know, is the sweetest, biggest mush. He's this huge, stocky pit bull who's been through so much, but is such a sweetheart. And then, you know, you hear all the time about, you know, pit bulls attacking people and stuff like that. But you know, if you know a pit bull, how sweet they can be. But the issue is they're really strong dogs. And, you know, some people get them who either don't have any experience with dogs or want the dog to be aggressive or are just bad at training the dog. Right. So you have these dogs that are prone to being very, like, territorial and very protective, just be really aggressive. And that's what you saw with this pit bull who was, like, freaking out at Bo, who eventually calmed down, and then this other dog was just the one that was freaking out. And it's always so disappointing to see because, you know, these dogs, it's not their fault that they have the reputation they have. It's the owners, really. It's just incompetent people that shouldn't be owning pets.
Well, and also, like, the representation you see in the media a lot, like, whenever you see pit bulls, it's always like, oh, it's some DMX video where there are these, like, ferocious dogs, or it's, like, a dog-fighting thing. Or,
yeah,
you know,
I
like,
mean,
you don't really see the like, adorable,
you
like,
don't, yeah, exactly, yeah. The media is definitely part of the problem, but, you know, you still get, like, in Rochelle Park, where I grew up, you're not allowed to have a pit bull, even though we had two. We had to say there were, you know, another breed, like a bulldog or something.
Oh, wow.
Like, a lot of towns ban pit bulls. A lot of apartment buildings do, you know, and it's just suck. You've met Max, and Max, mm-hmm. Let me just give a little back. Can I give Max's background?
Sure, of course.
So Max was found in an abandoned house in Newark with his throat slashed, like, almost, like, to the bone, and his ears cut with, like, a crudely cut, what they assume was scissors. So he was just covered in blood. He got, you know, fixed up physically and stuff. And he's just somehow the sweetest dog in the world. He just loves people. My brother Tommy gives him, is just so loving. Tommy and Gabby just love this dog to death. And he has the best life. It's so amazing because you could tell all he wants is love. And the idea that people before my brother and Gabby would be cruel to him, like not even mean, but actually like physically cruel, is just, can't wrap my head around it.
Well, it's striking that Max has been through so much unbelievably horrible stuff, and yet you see him with Tom, or, mm-hmm. or with anyone, really, and he's just unbelievably loving and just seems to just love
so
his
sweet.
Life. And
yeah.
You wouldn't know it, you know, outside of, like, the scars and things like that.
Right.
But he's just this big, playful, loving dog, seems mm-hmm. to have no idea, like, how big he is, and will just barrel into
oh,
you
no.
full
he's,
speed.
He's one of those pit bulls that has, like, a huge head, is really low to the ground and beefy.
Yeah.
But he's such a sweetheart, yeah. But it's really a shame about about pit bulls, but yeah, this dog that was in the show, you know, these owners are oblivious, and even when Cesar Millan helped, they still seemed like kind of ungrateful about it. And
yeah, he had to kind of like chase them down in this park and be like, hey, do you mind, can I show you something here real quick? Yeah. And you know, they're not the focus of the episode, so we don't see like you know, a long thing or anything, but yeah, they're kind of in and out,
right?
But yeah, at the end, I mean, we definitely get the sense that both the dogs in this episode, or I guess all four of the dogs, we've got Bo and then Taki's three dogs, are doing much better.
Yes.
It's still a little bit rascally when he shows up at his other restaurant on the porch with, oh my god, Taki's unbuttons his shirt and he hit custom made a you know what, like letter U space N-O what with a pointing fist clip art underneath it. Like, I want that shirt so bad.
It's a good shirt.
It's really good. But yeah, this I like the second episode a lot. I think both these stories were great.
And it was interesting. I think I'm in the, not for the show, but I could see myself watching more of this just by myself. But
oh yeah, like not for the podcast.
Yeah. I this is my assumption. I think when the problem is more the person, the owner, like in the case of Nicole or the case of Takis, I think that those cases are far more likely to not actually really get resolved. Because it's so much harder to change people. I mean, if it's like with Bo, I mean, you could tell Miss G, who's Bo's owner, the Freedom Riders lady, like she really cared and really wanted to change, make changes for herself so that he could improve. And it really didn't take much. And it really was him being territorial and stuff. But, you know, with Nicole and she's always so nervous and worried, like that's not going to change.
Right.
So, you know, I hope these dogs get better. But like realistically, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they revert back to their old ways.
Well, people are very quick to settle into their old ways and what they know. And if like Nicole's nature is to be constantly worried all the time, like, you know, I think back to my grandma and how she's, it's not as easy as like if Cesar Millan showed up at my grandma's place and said, hey, don't be so nervous all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you can get it temporarily in the moment enough to get a TV show out of it and cut it together. But like, yeah, the second Cesar Millan's gone, you know, people are going to revert to their old ways.
Yeah, so. even Nicole, girl, her husband was saying like, oh, you know, she'll do it when Cesar tells her to, but she's not going to do it when I tell her to. So
fingers crossed. Hopefully,
for the sake of the dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, it was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. Cesar Millan seems incredibly good at what he does.
Oh yeah.
Man, yeah. He seems like the dude when it comes to that stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Yep, so that will be it for Cesar 911. If you haven't watched it yet and you're interested, it is on Netflix. It looked like they had one season on there, about six episodes or so. But next up, I think we're going to do our first trip to YouTube.
All right.
I don't think we've done YouTube yet, have we?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so this one is coming in as a suggestion from one Bianca Reichert. This one is called Degrassi Junior High.
Yes.
And here's my knowledge of Degrassi. I think there are numerous different versions of Degrassi. Like, you know, there was Saved by the Bell and Saved by the Bell, the new class, and the college years. I think it's Canadian. And also, I know that there is a up-and-coming rapper named Drake that the kids seem to like. That he was in one of the shows.
Right.
It's not in this one.
No, he was in Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Okay.
So I used to watch Degrassi, The Next Generation when it was on Noggin, I think. Remember Noggin? You ever hear that channel? And I kind of watched it ironically because it was so unbelievably lame. But, you know, you watch something enough and you kind of get really invested in the characters and where the characters
are. I've watched a lot of lame things.
Yeah. But I sort of fell off after the first few seasons. But Degrassi Junior High, I'm aware of because my mother...
Great cook, by the way.
Amazing cook. My mother used to be a school nurse and a health teacher at this school in Hailden, which was... a horrible experience where the kids were absolutely brutal to her. So she left not long after starting that job, thank God. But the one good thing that did come out of that job is Degrassi Junior High, because she brought home like three or four tapes, so just random episodes. I don't even think they were in sequential order or anything. And my brothers just love them because they have that, you know, after school special vibe to them, that
really
quality.
Really corny, we're going
to
teach you
really
something.
Really corny, like no edges whatsoever.
Right.
It's something that you could show to like middle school kids, you know what I mean? You could get away with showing it. So I want to go back to it and relive some of that. You know, I totally forgot about most of it. And again, I've only seen a handful of episodes, so I look forward to experiencing it with you.
So that will be our next one here on Painting the Stream, which it does look like it is a official, like it says like the Degrassi Junior High YouTube channel. It looks as official as something on YouTube can look.
Right.
So hopefully it will not get taken down or anything. But yes, if you have the means, if you can find it on YouTube, Degrassi Junior High, specifically Junior High. Remember, there's 8,000 different versions of Degrassi. Degrassi Junior High Season 1 episodes 1 through 3. That will be our next episode of Panning the Stream. That will be it for this one. As always, I would like to thank Tom Monda of Thank You Scientist for the theme song. If you need to get a hold of us for feedback or for any reason whatsoever, it is panningthestream@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at @panthestream. I am Dan Reichert, joined as always by Bianca Reichert. Thank you so much for joining me, honey.
Of course, Babe Roo. My pleasure.
And we will be back next week with Degrassi Junior High.
Take care.
Thanks, folks.